Seirun High Jinx, 10-Year Reunion. Written by Kaoru Shisho. Read by Opalsong. This is the fourth and final story in the Seirun High Jinx series. Affection is responsible for 9/10 of whatever solid and durable happiness there is in our lives. C.S. Lewis. Chapter 1. After the Musical. We are all so much together, but we are dying of loneliness. Albert Schweitzer. We begin with the 10-year reunion preparations. The plan was to do a concert for charity. Money is to be distributed by the mayor's fund. It was 10 years since our musical. Our coming out as a band of syndicate slayers as well as a band of musicians. And one drummer. Ha ha! Got you again, Zelly Bean! To be completely accurate, only 9.5 years had passed. But for some reason, some secret reason of Zelos's, it was being held now. He said it was 10 years from some other momentous occasion. And since he had arranged and funded the entire thing, no one argued. Lena helped with the planning, too, but she was equally tight-lipped concerning any of the details. Before the concert, though, was a mini-gathering of all of us to settle something, Zelos said. He was always a secretive bastard. I was the first to arrive, having been there all day supervising his arrangements, so I was able to greet everyone as they entered. Amelia, buoyant and bubbly as always, was first to help me out. She was still the youngest of us 20-somethings, not that it mattered anymore. "So, they let you off today?" I asked her. She was working for a Syrog law firm. "Kinda," she hedged and looked aside. "I'll tell you about that later. Right now, I want you to tell me where to get started." She and I were hanging banners until the party store delivery service arrived with the tables and the balloons. Her evasiveness, when it came to talking about her current personal affairs, piqued my curiosity more. "When is Sylphiel coming?" she asked before I could interrogate her further. I checked my watch. "About an hour. That's when the catering people are due, and her job is to supervise them. Here, toss me that roll of crepe paper." "And Gowrie?" "He might come sooner and help us. Depends on whether or not he feels that the new kid he's hired as supervisor can be trusted at the job site alone." Amelia smiled. "Must be something running a company as large as that. So many projects going at once. Is he bringing his brother?" "Joey? That he didn't tell me. Doubtful." The two brothers were not on the best of terms lately, I understood. Yeah, Gowrie is busy. Any word from Zelbob? I hoped Amelia had reached him for his last update. He had his patients list cleared for today, of course. But then, after that fire last week, her voice trailed off. There were several young people with serious burns still hospitalized after a fire ripped through a rundown apartment building. Psychiatric help was critical for them, and specialists like Dr. Zelgadis Greywords were in short supply. He'll make it to the concert, I know it! So will Lena. I told Lena not to be late, or she'd miss the hors d'oeuvres. Amelia laughed. Well, then she should show up pretty soon. Oh, and Val called right before I left to say he'd be here earlier than he'd first thought. Julian worked out whatever the problem was at the country club, so he didn't have to stay after all. He almost caught a ride in with you. No, he couldn't have. I was staying here in town last night so I could get an early start with this. First thing when the owners opened the building. Anyway, he should be here any minute. That left only one other. I spoke up before Amelia could ask about him. I don't know when he'll show. Late for a dramatic entrance, you can be sure. Amelia gave me a sweet, understanding look. I know. Zelos has been very excited about all this. And something else. Whether Amelia knew or not about the something else, I didn't know. My stomach tightened as painful thoughts intruded on my previous serene ones. How about streamers from here to that far corner? I asked, changing the subject abruptly. Sorry, but we must diverge a bit. You know, I just realized I can't tell you the ending to this story without going into the important parts leading up to it. The background information. No, that doesn't mean retelling our story from the very beginning. Lena already did that in her three books, the Saeroon High Jinx trilogy, as its current repackaging marks it. I'm telling this part because, well, I wanted to. In a funny way, I've been central to many of the changes to our band of misfits called the Slayers. And have there been changes? Lots since the musical that changed the world. So, to start with, after the musical was over and school and all, everyone moved, mostly as we entered college, but it didn't stop us from keeping in touch. The band still met for practices and jobs, of course. Okay, for the story of the band, you can read about that in just about any magazine or find a few hundred websites, some factual and others nearly devotional. But both kinds highlighting the history of the Slayers band. But I won't bore you with that stuff outside of how it pertains to our emotional connectedness. That's right. This is the story of our relationships from that amazing high school musical to our 10-year reunion. Much more interesting. And especially with me telling it. Hi, I'm Thalia Ul Copt, and have I got a story to tell you? Let me begin with a quick rundown of the way things stood after the musical. Oh, and to set things straight, despite the comings and goings and moves and chaos surrounding our lives, our friendships have endured. Just so you know. Okay, then first, there was one constant in my life, which was that every 6 weeks, Zelos would visit me wherever I was for a haircut. Funny, huh? Peculiar guy with odd habits, yeah. But it was also a good thing because it kept me informed of what was happening with the others. I just loved news, and not just the gossip kind either. And Zelos loved to talk, so it worked great and to our mutual benefit. Usually. Then again, he also left out a few key things along the way, as you will see. But enough of him for a bit. I was aware that Zell and Amelia were dating as a couple, but it wasn't glaringly obvious at first. At some point during the musical, great timing, Zelbob, my dear, sweet, stubborn Zelgadis finally broke down and told Amelia that he didn't want to monopolize her, but that he hated the idea of her dating others. Thankfully, Zell hadn't used that dreaded L word at the time. Amelia was starry-eyed enough without dreaming of his love. Nothing seemed different between them at first. But Zelos assured me it was, which was possible since he and Val lived with Zell. Oh, and Val never gossiped about Zell or Zelos, his two roommates. He was a loyal friend to them. Well, it was a good thing Zelos had warned me about the new couple's closeness, or I might have burst out laughing the first time I saw Zelbob and his little princess. We overheard him call her that once, and the nickname stuck. Together holding hands. Zell looked so uncomfortable and happy at the same time. But I was good. I didn't tease them at all. Immediately after the musical was over, Zelos took Lena and Kiki to France to see Kiki's estate. Amelia's father had explained to Zelos that it would be unseemly for Kiki to go with Zelos alone. Zelos asked her, knowing that Lena would love the traveling and that it would keep everything above board. And they did go and had a great time, I guess. But you'd have to ask them to tell you that story another time. I can say that Lena had thought it was a come-on from him. She had considered saying no, but couldn't pass up a free trip. Was she surprised to find she and Zelos would have company? You bet. I couldn't tell if she hadn't been just a little disappointed or not. She and her pride hit it well. The point being, the band didn't get together until they got back. Then there was graduation for Val, Gowri, Lena, who had been excused from finishing up the last few weeks of work, lucky girl. And the principal allowed Zell and Zelos to be in the ceremony as well. Somehow, it didn't end up being as lame as I thought it might be. All I remember anymore about it was that Lena gave a speech and the crowd kept crying out to her, "To sing, Lena, sing!" Anyway, after that, the band was on the road selling CDs and making some money, which was good because I knew I would need some spending money for our trip to Japan. Oh yes, we did that. Zelos arranged it all and paid for it. Our band and Kiki and Subaru too. Subaru ostensibly because he spoke the language fluently. The real reason was because Zelos was always looking out for that weird kid. Yep, Zelos took care of that odd duck. Still does to some extent. The Clamp campus detective trio got him enrolled in Clamp school, and Count D gave him a part-time job in his pet store. Zelos paid for it all, of course, including the kid's veterinarian license. Today, Subaru works for Count D and out at the Clamp school zoo and seems happy and content for once in life. But once again, I'm getting ahead of myself here. In the first year after the musical, I was still in high school, my last year, I remember, when Zelos started bringing some girls around to her practices. Fans, I think. Nothing special in my book. No girl lasted long with him. After a while, he seemed to focus on just one, but I wasn't noticing much. Back then, Zell was still going out with Amelia, but because she was at the high school and he was full-time at the university, they didn't see much of one another. She told me one day that they had broken up, kinda. She could see others, and so could he, but they would still be close. So anyway, that was going on, and Val and I, well, he got into both the Art Institute of Atlas City and of Seyrun, but because of the band, he chose to stay in town. I think the other one suited him better, and he probably did too, but the band had to come first. It was another dream of his, to be in a rock and roll band, and we were bigger than ever. He'd come to the settlement on some weekends and holidays, but aside from band practice or job, I rarely saw him. Soon, we were drifting apart, glued together by the band, the clan, and not much else. He never brought any girls around to show off, or even talked about them, although I'm sure the guys heard about his conquests. It was okay. It wasn't like we were ever in love or anything. We were close friends then, and still are. Gowri continued working for his father's construction company after graduation. I think he said he became an equal partner around the winter holidays that year. I can't recall now when, but he was pretty happy. I think what made him the happiest guy on the planet that year, though, happened during spring break. It was a shocker for us all.
I'm getting married, Zelos announced at one of our gigs.
Zell and Val knew, apparently, since they alone managed not to scream. That and Gowri, who grinned and never stopped for the longest time. I was stunned. I knew Zelos still had a thing for Lena, and generally dated different boring girls, including the one he was about to marry. But it always seemed that he did so with an air of disinterest. This one, I didn't think would last any longer than the rest. Just another pretty brunette. His type, I guess. But right after our graduation, for Sylphiel and me, there it was. A wedding. A big, flamboyant affair. It was as if he was just trying to convince everyone that he was in love. And this time, Zelgadas didn't stop him. I was hoping he would again, just for fun. But he stood by his best friend's side and looked solemn. So maybe it was for real this time. I guessed I was wrong about Zelos. Yet again. Maybe he had found his true love at last. What else? Zelos moved out of the shared house, of course, and into a townhouse downtown. I think it was one of his syndicate-turned-upscale condos and business buildings that Gowri had fixed up. Actually, Zelos always had a few building projects going on and entrusted the work solely to Gowri, which made Gowri a millionaire, but that's getting ahead of my story again. Once Zelos was married, he and Gowri got along just fine, I think. After Zelos moved out of Val's place, Gowri moved into his empty room. Val was out most of the time visiting bands, folks on campus, and occasionally the settlement. Apparently only using his house to store clothes changes. So I think Gowri moved in as much to keep Zell company as to make an excuse to get away from his countless siblings. Zelbob really missed his best friend, I could tell. He started spending more time on campus after that, and less time with Amelia. He was pouring his heart into getting his degree over and done with. Lena called it the fast track to the grad pack. But I think he was lonely. Other than that, it was a boring year filled with school and band and finally my graduation. It was during the second year after the musical that Sylphiel got a part-time job at the Seyrun General Hospital for that first summer out of high school. She spent 1 year getting her dietitian's license at the local community college and then became a full-time dietitian there. Of course, that didn't last long. She got married, and not long after, she quit work as soon as she found out she was pregnant. There I go, jumping ahead again. I'll get back to her later. Amelia had one more year of high school left by the time fall rolled around. Poor thing, still in that miserable, crumbling high school. Actually, from what I gleaned from her conversations, she was having a blast and dating quite a few cute guys. Still, I know Zelbob was the recipient of many special looks. The two went out once in a while. Once, that I know of, on an overnight to the coast, but neither would share a single detail. I was starting at Seyrun University, humanities major, nothing special. I'd run into Zell and Lena, mostly Lena. I moved into the dorms there, but only for the first quarter. You see, Luna and Julian got married during winter break. She was a full-time lawyer for the clan, and he was still co-running the Seyrun Country Club with Val. That left Lena in her house alone, or would have, if I hadn't moved into her sister's room. What a blast that was! No baby brother to get into my stuff. We were both careless housekeepers, but who cared? The freedom was wonderful. So, keeping count here, Zelos was married the following spring after the musical, then Luna in winter, then, when spring rolled around again, Sylphiel was engaged to, guess who? Okay, that's my next tale. See, Gowri knew Zelos was out of the running for Lena for good now, so he decided to make his move. Because we were roomies, I knew that Lena was not interested in getting married. She didn't even really date. Lena met people, at places,
on campus for university-related events. Period. As she explained any chance she could, why pair up? We all just hang around with one another all the time anyway. She and Zell went out, but just as friends with common interests. I thought they were perfect for one another, but as Zell put it, we are both too alike and indifferent at the same time. A deadly combination. Humph to that. I said they were both too self-absorbed and overly dedicated to their schoolwork to bother. Anyway, Gowrie had a terrific job, and since he had long ago set his sights on Lena, he decided to propose, just like that, no in-between boyfriend-girlfriend stage. She turned him down. Point blank. No, not until I'm done with college, and maybe not even then. Maybe never. Yeah, most likely never. She must have said a lot more, because Gowrie never asked her again. A few months later, he and Sylphiel began seeing each other exclusively, and by the end of the summer, a little over a year after Zelos was married, we all attended the lavish wedding in the Great White Shrine of Gowrie and Sylphiel. They both looked fabulously happy, so who was I to say too young too soon? In the meantime, our band was really popular, and we were busy all the time when we weren't working or going to school. It was a wonder any of us could keep relationships going outside the band. I tried. It was nearly winter of the year Gowrie and Sylphiel were married. I was home with Mom and Dad and little Quentin, my brother, for Thanksgiving weekend. Lena came with me, too, to visit her sister and brother-in-law. For the first night back, Lena was eating with them and staying at their cozy house on the settlement. So it was just my family and me finishing dinner when there was a knock on the door. My father left the table and answered it. "Probably Val, don't you think?" my mother asked. "It's too soon for Brad to arrive." "No," I sighed. Mom could never keep everyone's schedule straight. Brad was my current boyfriend in the making. "Brad's not coming. He's staying with his clan this holiday. Val's not likely to make it until tomorrow. The Art Institute gets out a day later than the Sabrine University." I knew that Val would come to the settlement to stay over the short break, and I was expecting him to arrive the next day to lap up the autumn festival food. Could be Lena, though. I could hear my father's voice in the front hall and the pounding of rain outside as he closed the door. "Well, get out of those wet things and I'll go get Philia." I left the table and met him at the dining room door. "Who is it?" "It's Zelos." Dad gave me a serious look. "I think he's been drinking. He doesn't seem right. If he wasn't such a close friend, I'd send him packing." "He doesn't drink," I assured him. I might have been wrong. I didn't know everything about Zelos. However, I did think it was odd for him to be dropping by this day. He was hanging up a dripping wet coat when I approached him. "I just did your hair, Zelos. Shouldn't you be home having dinner with your wife?" Okay, I was harsh, but sometimes I just let anger take over, and he had always gotten under my skin. I regretted those words the moment he turned his face toward me. Dad had been right. He looked terrible. Water dripped from the tips of his matted hair. His face was drawn and pale, eyes dark as he made no attempt to hide the pain in them. "I'm sorry to bother you. Maybe I should leave. I'm not very good company tonight." I sucked in my breath, holding back anything else I was about to say. I was overwhelmed by his naked pain and loneliness. "Hey, you're soaking wet and standing in a puddle with your shoes off. Come on into the den. I'll get you some dry socks and..." "Go ahead, dear," my mom called from the other end of the hall. "I'll bring in some tea for you." Zelos shrugged. "Thank you. I don't want to be a problem here." "You've always been a problem." I tossed off without thinking. He winced, and then his eyes slid back to his hands. His whole body drooped. I guess at that minute I realized just how often I'd said such hurtful things to him. Probably everybody in the past. My turn to apologize, Zelly. I was being insensitive. I caught his eyes with mine briefly. I'll be right back with those socks. He seemed dead. We sat without talking until my mother came and left. He had exchanged pleasantries with her in a strange, clipped fashion, more like Zell than himself. He sipped at the hot tea and leaned back, closing his eyes. What happened to you? Your clothes look like you've been sleeping in them, and my dad thinks you've been drinking. Well, someone had to get it started.
She left me.
She... who? Your wife? Zelos? He chuckled without smiling.
Actually, she threw me out a few months ago.
His eyes looked up, tear-filled, then quickly looked away. Oh, Zelly, I didn't know. None of us did, I don't think. Why didn't you tell us sooner?
Gods, Philia. He was trying to stem the tide of tears. It's humiliated. I'm such a fuck-up. I fail at everything.
I wrapped my arms around him and felt him sink onto me. Oh, Zellybean, no, that's not true. He totally fell apart after that. I just held him and let him cry it out until he could talk again.
I had nowhere to go, so I rented a place downtown where I've got some renovations going on, and just tried to get on with my life. I really thought the separation was temporary at first, that she'd miss me and ask me to come back. So I said nothing and just tried to bear it like a man.
She wasn't good enough for you.
I didn't know, but she filed for divorce and I didn't fight it. And it just came through today.
That was fast. How much?
How much? Oh, she keeps the townhouse and she accepted a cash settlement. It was in the prenuptial agreement. Oh, and in case it ever comes up for you, an uncontested divorce settlement can be had in 2 weeks' time.
You made her sign a prenup? Well, that's the most intelligent thing I heard you do in the past few years. Okay, it wasn't too nice a thing to say, but it did make him smile a little. The rest I just brushed off as bitterness.
My lawyer's idea. She really didn't know how wealthy I was. Zelgadis told me to wait until we'd been married a couple years and then let her in on it, bit by bit.
Thank the gods for Zelbob. He didn't care for that girl either. Zelos gave me an amused smile.
No, just me. Zelgadis said that I was the only one that really mattered when it came to whom I should marry. But as it turned out, that wasn't quite true. The band was and is a part of me, and I couldn't share. She was jealous of it, of Kiki, of Lena, of you.
Of me? Why me? It's not as if you and I had anything going.
You cut my hair. You've known me a long time. We have shared a lot, Philia. She knew that, and hated how I never had enough time for her.
Why was that?
I don't know. I like to travel. I have contacts all over the world.
Were you unfaithful? I waved him to silence. No, it's not my business. I'm sorry for being so nosy.
It's okay, Philia. It's good for me to talk about it for a change, and no, I wasn't. I kept my marriage vows, really. I just felt smothered and needed to get out and about occasionally.
You and Zelgadis are alike in that way, and I don't mean the travel thing either. I'm talking about how you both avoid getting close.
Zello scooted closer so we were touching and draped an arm around me. I like getting close.
I slapped at his arm, which he didn't remove, and laughed. Sully Bean, I'm not talking about that, either. I was relieved to see a ghost of a smile return to his mouth. His eyes were another story. They flickered over me in a way I wasn't used to, lingering on my lips before rising to meet my eyes. "Close is nice, and as I recall, you like to dance." His voice lowered to a purr. "On my feet," I clarified, as opposed to with my lips. And then he kissed me. It had been a long time since he'd kissed me, but my memory of his particular feel was revived immediately. A special combination of tenderness and passion. And I was in a reverie of my high school days up in his loft. He had been receiving brutal beatings as a part of his syndicate training, and I had offered, or been coerced by him, I forget which, to apply the clan's healing arts. He was stripped to his boxers, and I gave him a full-body massage rub in the salves, starting with his back. Gowry, bless his kind soul, joined us to chaperone, I think, and to cover Zelos with his kimono somewhat when he rolled over onto his back. That was to mask his obviously aroused state, something I know about now but hadn't an inkling of at the time, innocent that I was. Zelos wouldn't have given a damn, of course. Nothing embarrassed him then, or now, except for this new thing, his failed marriage. His tongue slipped past my teeth and gently flicked at mine. This was no brotherly kiss or practice kiss. He tasted of alcohol. That struck me to be very odd. Even after he had discovered that he hadn't inherited a liver disease and had learned he could drink, he rarely did, and after finding a new drug combination which truly helped control his ADD, he told me that alcohol was absolutely prohibited. Further comparison of Zelos's past and present kissing styles was halted when I felt a warm hand push under my blouse and another on my shoulder, pressing me hard into the sofa. Whoa, this was no tentative boy. These were deliberate moves from an experienced man, I was sure of it. He had my bra unhooked and was crushing me into the pillow back of the den's convertible sofa bed. "Zelos!" I gasped and broke away. Our eyes met, and something of the old familiar friend returned for an instant, before his eyes widened. "Philia? I'm so sorry, I have no right." He sputtered a few other things as I righted myself, and he sat back a ways. His eyes held mine, pleading, and then all the blood rushed from his face, and I could see the sheen of sweat break out across the bridge of his nose and above his upper lip. His eyes found the door. "I'm gonna be sick," he muttered. He dashed out of the den and across the hallway into the bathroom. Mother stuck her head in. "Everything all right, honey?" "I don't think he's well." "I see. Your father thought he smelled alcohol on his breath when he came in." "It's really bad for him, too, stupid idiot," I murmured. "Well, when he comes out, he must leave. He may be of legal age, but you're not, and I won't have him..." "His wife divorced him, Mama," I cried out. "He just got the papers, and Val's not back, and I don't know what's up with Zell, but he's got no one, no place to go. I think he was really sad and just needed someone to talk to. He feels awful." "Oh, that poor dear. If he drank enough, it could kill him, Mom. He takes some medication and the two don't mix." My mother stared at the door to the bathroom, then walked to the door and tapped lightly. "Zelos, I'd like to help." I could hear the sound of running water, and then the tap shut off. Zelos came to the door. "Just a minute, please." The door opened, and an ashen-faced young man peered out, holding a washcloth to his head. "I'm better, in a way. No more queasy stomach." He smiled at her weakly, and then winced. "What is it? If you describe how you feel, I can help you more." Good old Mom, she wasn't about to let him squirm away. "Migraine," he whispered. "I, He closed his eyes, clearly in pain, and leaned against the wall.
Drank my medication on an empty stomach. Bad thing, plus stress.
It's a liquid? Alcohol-based, I'll bet, I said. He nodded, as my mother added. So you weren't drinking wine or anything? That's a good thing, then. We have a wonderfully effective migraine treatment here in the clan. Were you staying with Val?
I left my things at his place. He's not in. It's okay. I'll go back over there.
What kind of person would I be to send you out into that storm tonight? And when you're hurting? Mom held him in a big hug and said in a near whisper, Philia told me, dear, I'm so very sorry to hear your marriage is over. Now, just relax and don't worry. We'll take care of you tonight. To me, she said, make up the sofa bed, would you, dear? Sure, Mom. I'll make the infusion if you'll find the candles. I don't know where you moved them to. And the lavender eye pillow. Mom had walked Zelos back into the den and left him in an overstuffed chair with the washcloth over his eyes.
Thank you, he sighed.
A little bit later, I walked back into the room after having left to let him undress and slip under the covers. His face appeared healthier in the warm glow of the healing candles. He was sipping at his tea and made a face as I entered.
Bitter? I asked. Nasty, Philia. You trying to poison me with this stuff?
I could, but no. My mom made it. Drink it all and then lie down with this eye pillow thingy. It's filled with lavender and flax seeds. The pressure on your eyelids plus the scent will help.
What? What I did was inexcusable, nearly attacking you. And then you come back and show me such kindness. I don't deserve it, but thank you. I'm just so
horny, I finished.
Lonely. Really lonely.
He tossed back the last of the drink and sank into the bed.
I could sleep forever.
I placed the eye pillow on his face. His warm hand caught mine and he kissed my palm.
You're incredible.
That came in a gasp. I hope you're better in the morning, Zelos. You're pretty loony right now, I jested as I stood to leave. I was rewarded with an anemic smile, and I left the room. Lonely. I wondered how it could be that one of the richest, smartest, handsomest, most famous rock singers was so terribly lonely and resting in my den.